I want to just press into a story that is actually recorded in the Gospels of the first Easter Sunday afternoon. I find it one of the most poignant of accounts of Easter, because it's Jesus on the road to Emmaus, just walking along. And if you don't have a Bible, then Wape and Penny are just going to bring some around to you, but it will really help you to have Luke 24 open in front of you. And we're just going to read the whole story. I've not got time to go into all of it, but we're going to read it from verse 13 to 35. So Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. This is the first Easter Sunday afternoon. The Apostle Luke, or not the Apostle Luke, Luke, who was carefully kind of interviewing people to write his account, may well have even interviewed Cleopas, who's mentioned here, as he researched this. This is what he writes. Now that same day, that was Easter Sunday, the first Easter. Now that same day, this is page 1061. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's about the same distance as Brighton is from Lewes. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures for us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." I want to talk tonight about how so often we go through situations and circumstances where we can forget, because we can't so easily see, that Jesus is present. Maybe that situation in Colombo is particularly a reminder for that tonight, that in those kind of moments and crises, we can sometimes think, "God, where are you in all of this? Where is Jesus?" And maybe another thing we can sometimes feel is that when there's a big celebration like this morning and people are everywhere and we are celebrating, we can see, "Oh, there's something of Jesus here." But when maybe we're on our own, or just maybe with one or two others, or maybe in a small gathering, we can sometimes think, "Oh, Jesus, where are you?" But wonderfully here, we see Jesus on the very day when he'd risen from the dead, when he could have done so many different things, he could have appeared to crowds, he chooses to come and just simply walk with Cleopas and another disciple whose name we don't even know. And wonderfully, we have this record here of Jesus that day. And I find it amazing to just realize that Jesus is sometimes nearer than we think. You know, he is alive. And he is nearer than we think when you're at home. When you're going through a tough situation, when people are on their deathbeds, when we worship him, when we come and break bread, and when you walk out of this place and walk back to wherever you're going, Jesus is nearer than we think. And one of the things, though, is that in this passage, even though Jesus was, the risen Jesus was still physically operating in the world in that way, he hadn't yet ascended into heaven, yet they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know if you noticed that little phrase in verse, it's verse, I think, 16. Yes, one of them named Cleopas. No, I've got that wrong. Yeah, verse 16. As they talked, discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And I don't know about you, but that seems to me an odd thing. Why would Jesus choose to somehow keep his identity from them? When this is surely a day where he wants them to know who he is and what he's done. And I think maybe there's something here of Jesus trying to teach not just them something, but us something. So that when we are in times when we kind of don't see where Jesus is, that we can learn through their experience something that can help us see how Jesus is with us and how he's working in us. And this morning I want to just talk, this evening I want to talk briefly about broken hopes. Broken hopes. I found as I was preparing for this time, I was just grabbed by this verse in verse 21 where it says this. They are sharing what's happened and they just said this, but we had hoped. We had hoped. And you don't have to live long in life to realize that there are things that we hope for and long for that don't come about as we expect. I was chatting with Anne as we were coming in this evening, and we were both just saying how special it was to see visitors here this morning, people who'd never been before, and those lives of people transformed. But we were both also expressing that we'd both had people that we'd invited and longed would come who hadn't been there. And maybe you can know that experience of people that you'd hope their lives would somehow be touched by God. You'd hope maybe this Easter would be the time that would happen. And again, Jesus hasn't seemed to reveal himself to them yet. They seem to still be kept from recognizing him. And maybe there's even in your heart a kind of, oh, but we'd hope this would be the day. And maybe there's longings that you carry, not just in a personal way like that, but like for the whole sort of nation. I don't know what has been going through your hearts as you've been listening and seeing all that's happened with the Brexit. Maybe you were hoping that by now we'd have left, or maybe that you were hoping by now we'd have stayed in and it would all be out of the way. But we're in neither of those places. Did anyone watch the David Attenborough climate change program? Has anyone seen that yet? I really recommend it. It's just gone out on the BBC. And it's now been kind of 30 years or so where they've been talking and warning about some of the challenges that are going to be faced in the future. And because of the way that we are living, particularly in our consumerist society, and you know, that hope that maybe by now we'd have been in a better place, we'd have learned from our lessons and things. But whatever it is, we can live with broken hopes. And I think particularly we can live with the kind of broken hopes about what we thought God or what we thought Jesus was going to do. And one of the challenges is that we kind of see glimpses which make us have these kind of higher hopes. And so do you notice back in verse 19, it says this. Jesus says, what things have happened? And they say about Jesus of Nazareth. And again, I'd never noticed this until this week. They replied, and this is their description of Jesus of Nazareth, that he was a prophet. So they're clearly past tense speaking. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. This is their thing about Jesus. He was a prophet. But he was powerful. I mean, they'd seen it. They'd seen the power that he had before God and before men, that there was power both in his words, but also in his deeds. And I mean, this guy, he could have done it. He could have sorted out Israel. He could have done so much, and Jesus didn't do what they were expecting him to do. And brothers and sisters, when we have times when we think, Jesus, I know you're powerful. I know you're powerful, but why aren't you working like this? I think this passage really helps us to see that Jesus' purpose and power are still at work even when our circumstances don't seem to match that. That Jesus' purpose and power are still at work even when we don't see that in our circumstances. So how can we see it if we can't see it in our circumstances? Well, we can see it in the scriptures. And this is what Jesus does for us. He comes and he opens up the scriptures to Cleopas and this other person. He challenges their faith. He says to them, in verse 25 to 27, he says, look how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He doesn't actually even say, look how slow you were to believe the women who came back from the tomb, or how slow you were to actually believe Peter and John when they went and they didn't find anyone at the tomb. He doesn't actually challenge them on those things. He says, look how slow you are to believe the Bible. This book that's powerful, this book that we can see the purposes and power of God in, and that help us see how we can have hope that God is at work even when he's not working in the way we want him to work. That he is still working out his purposes and his plans. And it says that he then showed them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, all that was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And I think this is maybe here one of the most helpful things. Today's Easter Sunday. Who's right at the center and the heart of Easter Sunday? Jesus. And this is the Bible. Who's right at the center and the heart of all the scriptures? Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And what happens, you see, is that we have our hopes or our expectations, and we think somehow, as we even turn to the Bible sometimes and we read it, we think it's all about us. It's all about me or you, or for the people like Cleopas, thinking it's all about them. It's all about the Israelites. It's all about, and we can so easily think it's all about us. It's all about us as a church. And actually, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus working something massive and working it in a way where he had to suffer and then enter glory. That we're coming and sharing this meal with people all around the world because we're remembering actually that this is the way of Christ. The way where he died for our sins. He had to do that. There was no other way. As we were hearing this morning, we are so broken and the world is so broken. Our sin separates us from God so much that there was only one way that we could be redeemed. That the redemption for Israel wasn't defeating the Romans as we know. It was actually through Jesus coming and dying. And that through then his death and his resurrection, we are given life. Not to have a amazing lives that we feel are prosperous and successful in the way we think, but actually in a way then that leads to eternal life in him. So that even when we see and hear of our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka being bombed, losing their lives, being maimed, losing loved ones, that's not that Easter's kind of all gone horribly wrong and God's purposes and plans have failed. No, that is why Jesus died and rose again, so that we could have hope. They could have hope in that situation. That they could know, yes, Jesus died so that we can be with him forever. It is all about him. And I find that so hard to take on board until I come and see in the scriptures that actually he's going to sort it all out in the end. And that those who've lost their lives today, or their loved ones today, that they're not going to get to the end of eternity Oh, even you don't get to the end of eternity. They're not going to get to halfway through eternity and think, oh yeah, Jesus, that wasn't a good plan. They will see and they'll be able to say, Jesus had an amazing plan. It was so good. It was all about him, and it was one where they'll be able to worship him for all eternity. And I find that, I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you're going through, it's a reminder to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And as we come to this table, you might come later on, we're going to see he comes back and they run back to Jerusalem and he appears to Simon. And Simon was the one who betrayed him. And we don't have anything about that first meeting with Simon except this little line. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. But God in his grace, he comes and meets with us. When our hopes have been, you know, because Peter wasn't expecting Jesus to get kind of crucified, and he saw him get captured, and he started to deny Jesus. And so often what happens when our hopes are broken, that's when we can start actually turning away from Christ or doing things our own way. And Peter realizes that Jesus has still come for him, and that actually Jesus' plans haven't broken down. That Jesus is still working out his purposes and even wants to do that through Peter. So brothers and sisters, as we come to this table, let's come with a real faith that Jesus' plans and purposes, his power is still at work. And that when we can't see that in our circumstances, where can we see it? In the Bible, in the scriptures. And let's allow our hearts to turn there. Like Jesus took time on that first Easter Sunday. And again, it couldn't have been a short thing because it was from Moses all the way through the prophets. So Jesus is not in a hurry. Just with two people on that first Easter Sunday, just simply to open up the scriptures and maybe start with the Moses and the Passover and all that happened there. And this is Passover time and we're coming and celebrating in this meal just now. But there's something lastly I want us just to see in this story as well. And this is briefly just as we come to take communion. Do you notice how Jesus kind of says as if he's going on further, and then they say, no, come in and eat with us. And then verse 30, it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. We've spoken about broken hopes, and how actually when we turn to the scripture, we can discover hope again. Jesus is powerful, is working out his purposes. But I want to just talk lastly and briefly about broken bread. And with the broken bread, I want us to see that we can see something of the presence of Jesus, even when we can't physically see that Jesus is present. That these disciples, and I believe Jesus picked this moment because he had already told his disciples to have this meal in remembrance of him. And all across the world, people are sharing in just what is a very simple thing. I've been thinking recently about how, in so many parts where the church is growing so fast, they can't keep pace with training pastors. So there is loads of bits of the Bible that, you know, I still struggle with, but I think I've had loads more training than so many have. But I come back tonight and just remember that it's so simple. Jesus gave something that actually, really, you can learn quite quickly how to do. Oh, we come, we praise Jesus. We remember the good news that he died and rose again. And we share in this meal. And it's a powerful meal. It's a meal that speaks to us that Jesus is alive. He's present in the time when we come and break bread together. We can hold something. And it's a reminder that his body was given for us. We can take hold of a cup, and it's a reminder that his blood was shed for us, that he died so that we could be forgiven. And so tonight, come and remember that he's real. He's alive. He's present with us as we come and share in these simple things together. And I would love our hearts to be ones that as we take this bread, and if you're here tonight and you believe in Jesus, that he did die, that he did rise again, then this meal is for you. And as we take it again, may our hearts be like the disciples here who say it's true. May that be what we do as we take the cup and take the bread. We say, it's true. I believe. And I want to encourage you, as you believe, would you receive again and repent again? Would you come and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for where, because you don't do things my way, I let my Faith get downcast and doubt your plans and purposes and power. And may I remember again that you're alive and you are working out your purposes and power. And God, may you cause me to repent when I forget that you are present. And as I take this bread, would you remind me that you are present. Present with me now here and present with me as you've promised all the way through my life. And Jesus, I believe it's true. I take hold of this bread by faith.